News for Health presents To Your Good Health Radio. Here are Melanie Cole, MS, and Dr. David Friedman.
Joining us today is New York Times number one best-selling author of The Zone, which has turned a way of living, enabling millions of people to achieve optimal health. His books offer cutting-edge research and have revolutionized diet and nutrition. Welcome back to the show, author of the new book, The Mediterranean Zone, Dr. Barry Sears. Here's Dr. David Friedman.
Dr. Sears, we're talking about the Mediterranean Zone. Great info. I'm just curious. I've not asked you this question. What's your opinion on the boycott of gluten? Is good old-fashioned bowl of oatmeal in the morning really a thing of the past? What's your take on gluten?
Well, it turns out the whole aspect of gluten is based on a false premise. The fact is, gluten's the evil one. Actually, I talk about this. I have a whole chapter of food mythologies in the Mediterranean Zone, but gluten is the number one. Right now, we have a $15 billion a year industry based on something that probably doesn't exist. For the 1% of people who have basically celiac disease, gluten is a problem. I know my wife has it, so I know exactly the problems. Right. But for the other people who say, I have gluten sensitivity, when they've done careful studies, it wasn't gluten sensitivity. There were other things in the bread primarily that was causing the problem. And what they're called FODMAPs. FODMAPs is just a long word saying certain carbohydrates that are not absorbed very well. Lactose is one of those carbohydrates. Fructose is another. So when they put people who are gluten sensitive on a low FODMAP diet and then challenge them with gluten, there's no effects. So basically, we've been chasing the wrong villain. And as a consequence, we are chasing people away from, in some ways, pretty good sources. I love oatmeal. I love barley. They both contain gluten. But again, we've been told a marketing story that does not hold up under scientific scrutiny.
Wow. That's kind of my thoughts. I share.
Here,
I still love my morning oatmeal. And it's like, oh, everyone says, no, oatmeal's Satan. I'm like, what? My great-grandma and grandma loved it. I loved it. What do you mean it's Satan?
well, people are looking basically for the evil one. They're trying to explain, saying something is snuck into our diet. Well, what is snuck into our diet is inflammation. That's a pretty complex concept.
Right.
But that's the reason we gain weight. That's the reason we get sick. And that's the reason we age faster.
Right. So the Mediterranean Zone, you do advocate eating bread. That's okay.
Well, I don't like bread because for the same reasons I said actually in a Time interview back in almost 20 years ago, saying this is too many carbohydrates. So, again, all things in moderation. The only kind of bread I really like is really the German bread that it looks like a hockey puck. But it's dark. It means it contains polyphenols. If something's white, it probably doesn't contain polyphenols. If it's white bread, white rice, white potatoes, white pasta, it shouldn't be on your plate. And here's a good rule of thumb. The more white you put on your plate, the more inflammation you create.
Wow, interesting. That is interesting, And you've made some interesting discoveries on how following a specific diet can combat Alzheimer's disease. I know that's a hot topic this month. Is this for prevention or beneficial to those that already are diagnosed? If they're on the Mediterranean Zone, does this seem to help?
The answer is yes. I mean, in terms of prevention, it appears that those who are more closely follow a Mediterranean diet that is rich in polyphenols seem to have much less incidence of Alzheimer's. But if you already have Alzheimer's, what you're really looking at is saying it's a neuroinflammatory disease. And so what you want to follow, if you want to treat that disease effectively, since there is no drug treatment, you want to follow an anti-inflammatory diet. And this means a diet that both is hormonally balanced, but also is rich in the agents that can basically reduce inflammation in the brain. Polyphenols are one of those. Omega-3 fatty acids are the other. But, and there's a big but there, you have to be consuming them at a therapeutic level. You consume a placebo level, you get placebo results. At therapeutic level, you see some very, very striking results.
Dr. Sears, I want to jump in here because inflammatory conditions are what we're seeing as, with CRP and heart disease and now Alzheimer's, and all of these disease states are realizing that they're caused by inflammation. When you say these pharmaceutical levels of anti-inflammatory foods, tell the listeners exactly what foods you're talking about and how much of it you want them to eat to get some anti-inflammatory effects.
Okay, well, let's start with polyphenols. You should probably consume about 1 gram a day of polyphenols. See, that's pretty simple. Well, unfortunately, polyphenols are in very low concentrations in fruits and vegetables. You might have to consume 2 pounds of vegetables a day to get the 1 gram. You say, oh, it sounds like mission impossible. Say, but how about red wine? You say, okay, fine. All you need to get 1 gram of polyphenols is 11 glasses of red wine every day.
Okay? That's easy enough.
Cheers.
And we say, I don't like red wine. I like white wine. Say, no problem. Make that 110 glasses. So you see, getting polyphenols is a problem. But if you're eating lots of fruits and vegetables, it's really not. And getting the omega-3 fatty acids, it wasn't a problem 3 generations ago because every child could not leave the house unless they had a tablespoon of cod liver oil, world's most disgusting food.
Right.
But it contained about 2.5 grams of omega-3 fatty acids. Today, the average American consumes 125 milligrams. Of omega-3 fatty acids. That's a 95% reduction.
Big jump.
And we wonder why we're getting fatter and sicker and basically aging faster, especially in the brain. Lack of omega-3 fatty acids. Why? They're anti-inflammatory, and unlike drugs, they can easily cross the blood-brain barrier.
How do we get those into our kids?
Well, basically the old way, tough love. I mean, that was the old way, again, we're not eating nearly as much fish because, for a good reason, it's two reasons. One, it's become very expensive. And two, it's contaminated. Contaminated by things we've thrown in the environment in the last 2 generations. So now purified fish oils becomes a way of doing that. And the more purified the fish oil, actually the better taste. Now, it's not going to taste like champagne, but, it's a step removed from the old cod liver oil.
That makes sense. Yeah. And one thing, Doc, you mentioned before we talked, you said chasing the wrong villains, and we talked about gluten. Is there another villain out there that we're misconceived about?
Oh, there's plenty of. Another one is, fructose, saying, oh, that's the evil one. Again, if you consume anything in excess, it's going to have problems, even water. But the data is very, very clear. When you do studies where you basically have isocaloric substitutions of glucose and fructose, there is really no difference whatsoever. And the data is also clear when you take fructose with polyphenols. Basically, there's no adverse effects even on high levels. That's why an apple a day keeps the doctor away. Apples are rich in fructose, but they also contain polyphenols. And so we have a little problem.
Yeah.
If fructose was the evil one, don't eat any fruits. That makes sense whatsoever.
I've had experts on here, Doc, saying stay away from fruits. They're bad for you. All fruit. I'm like, are you kidding me?
again, because people get so caught up saying, I found the evil one. Saying, no, you haven't. You basically, take off the blinders and see the big picture. And that bigger picture is complex. And, I say, but that doesn't make good sound bites. I said, that's true, but we want to have scientific reality as opposed to basically the Dr. Oz, daytime TV.
Wow. In the last minute we have, what advice can you give to the listeners?
We only have about 30 seconds, Dr.
About 30 seconds, Doc.
Well, again, if you have one hand, one eye, and one watch, you can basically use those three things to basically keep inflammation under control for a lifetime. The Mediterranean zone shows you how to balance your plate, what to eat there, and how to use the watch to see if you're never hungry. If you aren't hungry, you're controlling inflammation.
Great advice, and
perfect.
Thank you so much, Dr. Sears. To learn more about Dr. Barry Sears or to order his latest book, The Mediterranean Zone, you can go to zonediet.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Dr. Barry Sears, and of course, you can follow our daily health tweets at Dr. David Friedman. This is Melanie Cole, and if you missed any of the great information we're giving here, you can listen anytime, on demand, or on the go to yourgoodhealthradio.com. Thanks for listening. Stay well, stay tuned with Dr. David Friedman. Have a great day.